All right, Hebrews chapter 11. We are nearing the end of this, and really, I mean, it's been good up to this point, going through Abraham, Moses, Enoch, Noah. We've hit a lot. Joseph, and there's actually just a few more verses left in Hebrews chapter 11, but from verse 30, as we looked at the walls of Jericho, Rahab the harlot, through the end of the chapter, there's another 8, 9, 10 more to go, and I'm excited about it, and so I hope you are as well. But we're going to jump right in here. Now, of course, we're going to have to jump back, because after we read this, you'll kind of see why here. But verse number 32 is where we picked, or where we stopped last time. And picking up right here, verse 32, Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets." And listen to what he says here. He says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, and were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom," I love this statement, "of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So we find from verse 30 down, as really verse 32 down, as he goes through and starts with Gideon and names a few, and then just kind of summarizes the entire Old Testament. If you will. Because, I mean, from who subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, I mean, so on and so forth. And we're going to hit most of these. We're going to hit all of these and go back to the Old Testament and see what is taking place here. But I want you to notice, as he says in verse number 39, "And these all have obtained a good report through faith." All of these, even though it doesn't say in each particular event that through faith, it summarizes it there in verse number 39, that all of these things happened through faith. Through faith. And so tonight, as we look at verse number 32, he says, What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. We're going to start there with Gideon. And you're going to go to Judges chapter number 6. Now, a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, we were actually here in Judges chapter 6. And we talked about Gideon. So I'm going to jump right in here. And we're going to recap a little bit about what's going on. But we're going to look at it from the standpoint of Gideon's faith. And the faith of Gideon. And as I kind of re-look at from this vantage point of what was Gideon's faith. What was Gideon's faith? Where was Gideon's faith? And one of the things that jumped out to me in the very beginning of this study for myself was that Gideon feared. Before Gideon had faith, Gideon had fear. And I think sometimes in our life, our fear comes first. But one of the things we must remember that through Scripture, the Bible tells us that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so, but we see here, and I want to title this tonight, The Faith of Gideon, From Fear to Faith. Because while he may have began in fear, and while he may have had some fear in the beginning, we find that in the end, Gideon's faith was great. And it was so great and had such great faith that he made it all the way to Hebrews chapter 11. He made it all the way in, even in Scripture here, in Judges chapter 6. And all the way to today as we stand here talking about Gideon. Why? What was it that separated Gideon? It was his faith. And we're going to talk about that tonight as we look in Judges chapter 6. We're going to look at 6, 7, and 8. And we're going to jump right in here in verse number 11. The Bible says, And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this night. I thank you for, God, just how you have preserved your word. It is so amazing. Father, man could not have done this. There's too much. There's too many events. There's too many orchestrations that we see from only you. And Father, we thank you for preserving it for us, that we might see men such as Gideon, and we might be able to tap into the faith in which they had. And Father, I pray tonight as we do that, may we do our best to apply it to our own lives in how that we might exercise and live our lives trusting in you and following you by faith. It is through faith that we ask these things. Through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. I want you to notice first off that phrase there in verse number 12, as the angel of the Lord, and I want you to notice the conversation that's taking place here between the angel of the Lord and Gideon. The angel comes to him and appears to him and says, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Thou mighty man of valor. Now, as I said in the very beginning of talking about Gideon here, Gideon had some fear that he had to overcome. And when I see that through this chapter, and when I see it through chapter 7 and into chapter 8, and I see what's taking place in Gideon's life, I'm maybe a little dumbfounded, because to me, Gideon does not come across as a mighty man of valor. Now, is that just me, or does anybody else kind of see that? Okay, a couple of you.
All right. Maybe I'm wrong here. I don't know. Maybe some of you just don't want to answer. I don't know. But I just don't see this in the beginning. Because he begins by saying, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, valor has the meaning of strength of mind in regard to danger. That quality which enables a man to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage, intrepidity, fearlessness, or prowess. Doesn't sound like Gideon to me in the very beginning. Now, in the end, by the time we get to chapter 8, we see Gideon as a mighty man of valor, and we're going to point some of these things out. How did he get there? It's awesome to me how the angel of the Lord here is telling Gideon not necessarily who he is at this particular point, but who he will be and who he will become. Now, Gideon responds by saying, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why has all of this befallen us?" He says, why has all of this happened here? If God is really for us, he said, I've heard my fathers talk about how God brought us up out of Egypt, and yet here we are, God's delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. How is this possible? How is this the same? I love the angel's response here. He said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? It's really a non-answer. I mean, he asks a question. How has all of this befallen us? How has all of this happened? If God's really God and God is really who he says he is, why is all of this happening? If he led us out of Egypt, why then has he led us into the land of the hand of the Midianites? What's going on here? The angel doesn't even give notice to Gideon's question. He just says, hey, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Didn't even give it a second glance. Now see, we try to reason too much, don't we? And that's really what Gideon's doing. He's reasoning through this and trying to figure all of this out. And the angel just says, I've sent you. God's sending him. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Again, he says, and he reminds him, I am with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And he still wants to know. In verse 17, and we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, he says, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry here until thou come again. And we know Gideon goes and he prepares this sacrifice. He brings it back. If you drop down to verse number 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. He said, fear not. Why? Now, usually when we say, don't be afraid, why would somebody say that? Because the other person's afraid. When we tell our children that, I'm sure Brother Don said he just went to Disney World. Did you have to tell any of the grandchildren, don't be afraid, it's okay? On any rides, did you have to tell them that? A couple times. Don't be afraid. Nothing's going to hurt you. Don't be afraid. Why do we say that? Well, usually because somebody's afraid here. Gideon had some fear. He's saying, one, and I want you to notice something. We talk about, and this is not necessarily part of this sermon here, but we talk about, people say, oh, well, I've seen angels, and I've seen this, and I've seen that. When you truly come to see God face to face with who God is, be afraid. Every person in Scripture that I can find, Gideon included, when they come face to face with God, there is fear, there is fright. When you think about that, when the angel came to Mary, it was like, whoa. I mean, every time. Whoa. It wasn't a, there was nothing like that. It was a, oh my, there's something different here. And Gideon begins to build an altar in verse number 24. And God tells him in verse 25, he gives him something to do here. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, and even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So God says, I want you to go. I want you to take down the altar to Baal. I want you to cut it down, destroy it. I want you to build me an altar. And Jason, you know what he said next? He said, cut down the grove, burn it up, place the sacrifice there, and take care of that. Do that. And when he did that, he says, if I do this right now, everybody's going to see me. So he waited till nighttime. He got 10 men, put them together, and said, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go. We're going to cut this down. Nobody's going to know it's us. No need to worry. It's nighttime. Nobody's going to see us. So they do exactly what God says. But they did it that way because Gideon feared. He had fear. The fear was real. The fear was legitimate. And as we see in the remainder of chapter 6, we find the fear was warranted somewhat. Because when they found out and they woke up the next morning and they saw their altar of Baal cut down and a new one placed up, raised up in its place, they said, who did this? Now it's amazing, because Gideon had 10 men helping with this. Obviously, or maybe he didn't tell them or didn't think to tell them, hey, don't tell anybody. Because somebody ratted them out. Because they said, who did this? And they're like, is Gideon? And Gideon's held up inside. And they're like, send him out. We're going to take care of him. Now his father stepped in and he said, and I like this. Now I want you to remember, whose the land was this on? Was it not near his father's? So his father was part of this. And Gideon's cutting down his father's altar and the men of the city's altar. I mean, his dad's in on this. But yet his dad steps up and says, can't Baal take care of himself? Does he need you to fight his battles? And it held the men off for the city, but this faith that Gideon is coming to, he needed to overcome his fear. Now, our fear will often lead us into disobedience, while faith will always lead us to obedience. Always. Faith will always lead us to obey God's word. Every single time. That's where faith takes us. Now, I want you to notice, number one tonight, the progression of Gideon's faith. The progression of Gideon's faith in overcoming his fear. It required some extra knowledge. In order for Gideon to go from his fear into complete and utter faith, there was a progression. Part of the progression, as we've already looked at, was Gideon asking questions. Now, I know I said this a few weeks ago,
I'm going to say it again. God, at least as far as I can tell, God does not mind questions. Now, I've heard almost my entire life, don't question God. Brother Philip told us about the tragedy from his family. Usually it's in times like that, Brother Philip, that people will say, don't question God. And I understand what people mean by that, and we mean good by that. But in every case that I've seen, in people asking questions in the Word of God, they get answers. They got answers. And through those answers, they found peace. And through those answers, their faith was increased. And we see that here in the case of Gideon. Gideon was by all rights somewhat skeptical. I mean, in the beginning, he's like, well, if this is the case, then why this? And God just said, I've called you. Well, if you're really who you say you are, don't leave until I come back. He comes back, and then he realizes, oh, my. And then even in this, he's going through this progression, and we see as he asked questions, and the questions were answered, his faith grew each time. And yet there was still a time in Gideon's life that fear played a part in his faith. He feared. Now, he didn't necessarily fear God, but in verse number 27, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. There was a real fear here. And we see that fury reflected in the men. But the favor of God was revealed. As Gideon was called, in verse number 36, Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put out a fleece of wool in the floor. If the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. So we find this favor of God being upon Gideon. As again, more questions. God, if you'll do this, if I put this out here and you do this, then I'll know that you want me to do it. And God did it. And Gideon said to God in verse number 39, he said, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once without the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. There it was. Questions. As we see this progression, the progression somewhat turned into a pattern. And so while we see the progression of Gideon asking questions and God answering, his faith growing each time, the fear somewhat lessening. When we come into chapter 7, then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid. We see that again, don't we? That same fear within this. Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. There returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So we have 32,000, 22,000 of them say, hey, I'm afraid, I'm out of here. And they go, and they left. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Still too many, Gideon. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall I go with thee, the same will go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And he brought down the people under the water of the Lord, and said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hands, and let the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and trumpets, and he sent the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, or to the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then he went down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Now hold on a second. Gideon's faith has increased from the first time the angel of the Lord came to him. I mean, he went, he made cakes, he made the things for the angel. He realized, hey, this is God here. This is the angel of the Lord here. And so he goes and he tears down the prophet of Baal, even though he feared. He gets the men together. God has given him the fleece. He's answered that. He's sent away 22,000 because they were afraid. Now there's 300. And God says, this is what I want you to do. And if you're afraid, and if you're fearful, I want you to go down to the host. And he goes. Now, we've got to do some deductive reasoning here, okay? God said, if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah thy servant down to the host. Thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then he went down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Why did he go down? Because he was afraid. He was afraid. Notice in verse 12 he says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for the multitude, or for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, and that tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Now hold on just for a second. You got to picture this. So their Midianites are camped out. There's tons of them. Thousands. More than that can be counted. God says to Gideon, all right, you got 300 to do this with. You're afraid? Go down into the host and listen to what you hear. Now it's nighttime, so in the cover of night, they go down
And they're not just walking into the host. So if you're picturing this, walking into the middle, hey, I'm Gideon, what's going on, guys? No. They kind of sneak down. And they hear this conversation that we just read. And the one guy has a dream. And he says, this is the dream I had. And he tells him, it just tumbled into the host of the Midian and smote it and fell and overturned it in the tent all the day, and they lay along. And the one guy says, well, I know what that is. So he interprets this dream in verse 14. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And when Gideon heard that, it was all he needed to hear. He worshipped, get this, he worshipped. Why? Because God said, if you're afraid, go down and hear this. And once he heard it, that fear was turned into faith. And we see this pattern here. Gideon fears, and then he has faith. Gideon fears, and then he has faith. Gideon fears, and that fear is turned to faith, and that fear, and so on and so forth. And we see this time and time and time again. We see this progression and we see this pattern. And that's when Gideon divides it for the 300 men. He puts a pitcher in each of their hands and he puts the horn, and they go and they get this concept developed. And it's there as God has confirmed to Gideon what is to take place. And they break the pitchers in their hands, and the armies of the Midianites begin to stand up in their place. And they blew the trumpets, and you can look down at the end of chapter 7 there. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. In verse 24, and Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters of Beth-Rabbah and Jordan. Then all these men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth-Rabbah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb. And Zeb they slew at the wine presses of Zeb. And pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. Their battle was on. In chapter 8, we see the perseverance of their faith. The men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledest not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came over Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, for I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then will I tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with the briars. And he went up thence to Penuel and spake to them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth. And he answered him. He spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Do you see this? This is good stuff right here. Gideon's coming, they're faint, they're pursuing, they have this perseverance. God is delivering them, Midian, into their hands. And as they pursue, they get tired. They get weary. They need some food. They come to a city and they tell them what they're doing. They say, we're going after them. We need some food. The people of Succoth say, are they in your hands now? So, well, not yet. Well, Sorry, we can't help you. And Gideon's answer in verse number 7, I tell you, he says, when the Lord hath delivered into mine hand Zeba and Zalmunna, he said, I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness with the briars. Woo! Gideon meant business, didn't he? He said, I don't have time to deal with you right now, but when God has done what he says he will do, I'm coming back and I'm going to whoop you. That's the new translation. He comes to the next city and they give him the same answer. He says, I'm going to break down this tower. Gideon meant business. Do you see? Hold on a second. Do you see what has happened here? Gideon has transpassed the fear and is in full faith mode. Do you see the difference? When Gideon comes to Succoth, he didn't have to worry about what God was doing. He already knew what God was doing. He'd already seen what God was doing. That fear had turned to faith, and he knew that he knew that Zalmunna and this other guy, Zeba, they're his. No, they're not in my hand right now, but they will be. Why? Because God said they would be. You see, when God says something, he finally knew and finally got to the place that he had faith enough to trust God in what God said, and he had no fear. And I can see that as he gives this answer. He says, look, when I'm done with these guys, I'm coming back with you, and I'm going to have food, and we're going to be strong. I'm going to whoop you. And when I come back here, this tower that you see right there, I'm tearing it down. Because God's given us a mission. We see this transform through faith. In verse number 13, and Gideon the son of Joash returned from the battle before the sun was up, and he called a young man of the men of Succoth and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth, and behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye upbraided me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. I love the Bible language. We might say it this way, he took them to the woodshed. I mean, come on, he taught them. With what? With the briars of the wilderness, the thorns. And he taught them. You boys, listen up. You're going to get taught something here one day. Is that not what it says? Yeah, I love that. He taught the men of Succoth with thorns and briars of the wilderness. Then he came back to Penuel. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. Then said unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom slew ye at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If ye have saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was but a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us as the man is. So is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away their ornaments on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord
shall rule over you. Why? Because Gideon had passed from fear to faith. You notice the questions are done. Gideon didn't have to come to God and ask, "Hey, Father, should I rule over them?" No, he already knew the answer. He said, "God will rule over you." See, they want to set up that king, that kingdom. They said, "Rule over us. You've delivered us." But he didn't. He said, "No, can't do it." But then, in verse 24, Gideon said unto them, "I would desire a great request of you, that ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey." They had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, "We will willingly give them." And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey, and the weight of the gold and the earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides ornaments and collars and purple raiment. That's about 51 pounds, give or take. That was on the kings of the Midian, and beside the chains there were about the camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Orpha. And all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and his house. That is, in a lewd manner, they began to raise up this ephod. Verse number 28, the Bible says, "Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech."